I want to talk to you about the heavenly man. The heavenly man. And I want to go to the book of Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and we are going to begin reading at verse 54. Verse 54 says, "When they heard of these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Here in Acts chapter 7, we find the very powerful and the very sacred story of a man that lays down his life for the witness of Christ. And brothers and sisters, any time we are talking about a martyr, someone who has sacrificed their life for the witness and the testimony of Jesus Christ, we are on very holy ground. And yet, without doing any dishonor to Stephen's story, I really feel in my heart from the Lord not so much to focus on Stephen's martyrdom as just to share with you the things that God has been speaking to my heart out of this story. And at the end of our message, we are going to tie in everything to the martyrdom of Stephen and see how it applies to our hearts as living witnesses in the generation that we find ourselves in today. So I want to begin with looking at verse 55. Verse 55 says, Acts 7, verse 55 says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." So we read in verse 55, it says, "And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and saw Jesus." And brothers and sisters, this is what I want to begin by saying. This is what the Holy Spirit does when he finds and possesses a heart that truly loves the Lord. When he possesses a heart that truly hungers to know God, he begins to open your eyes to a whole new world. He begins to cause the eyes of your heart to see things that you were never able to see before. The kingdom of God, the things of God, the truths of God, things that you were never able to see before, the Holy Spirit begins to open your eyes and to see them. Things that the world is absolutely blind to and cannot even begin to see, the Holy Spirit begins to open your eyes, and the very heart of God is unfolded right before your very eyes. Brothers and sisters, we truly are like blind men that were able to see for the very first time. Things that we couldn't see before, the love of God, the reality of God, the mercy of God, the truths of God, our eyes are suddenly opened to, and we begin to see these things. They're unveiled before our very eyes. I remember being a newborn in Christ when I was first born again. There came just a love in my heart and a hunger in my heart for the Lord. And I remember going into the secret places with my Bible. And I remember truths, very simple truths would just reach out of the Bible and grab my heart. Just very simple truths. And brothers and sisters, it was so alive and it was so new and it was so fresh to my heart that it was like being able to see for the very first time. Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks. That the secret of walking in the blessing of God is a grateful heart. That the woman took hold of the hem of Christ's garment and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" That Jesus really can feel the touch of our faith upon his heart. That Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree to see Jesus. That Jesus truly knows those that have a desire in their heart to seek him, and he sees them. Brothers and sisters, these truths, they were so alive in my heart, and they were so new, and they were so fresh. It was truly like being able to see for the very first time. Again, whenever the Holy Spirit finds a heart that sincerely loves Christ and desires for Christ, this is what He begins to do. He begins to open your eyes to a world you've never seen before. The kingdom of God begins to unfold before your heart. And brothers and sisters, I do want to say that this is the difference between truly being filled with the Spirit and being religious. This is the difference between truly being filled with the Spirit of Christ and being religious. See, Stephen's eyes are open to a world that these very religious men surrounding him are unable to see. Stephen's eyes is open by the Spirit of God to see the kingdom of heaven, to see the glory of God, to see Jesus standing in His position next to the Father, at the Father's right hand. His eyes are open to see it. And yet these very religious men surrounding Him are absolutely blind to this world that Stephen sees. And it is a picture. It's a picture. Brothers and sisters, I remember, again, when I was first saved, I know more about me than I know about you, so I use my life as an example. I remember, as a newborn, just having a heart for the Lord and falling in love with the Lord and having a hunger for the Word of God and having a hunger to learn the Word of God. And I remember working in plants in Alabama. We'd work 10 hours a day. Sometimes we would work longer, very hard hours, very long hours. And after coming home from work, I remember going into the newspaper and just looking and seeing who's having a church service tonight. And you know, down south, there's church services 7 nights a week. Someone's having a church service. So I remember looking in the newspapers. I was going to find, well, who's having a service tonight? I just wanted to be in a place where they were worshiping the Lord and somebody was going to bring forth the Word of the Lord, just to hear the Word of God in my heart, to learn the Word of God. And it didn't matter if it was Baptist or Methodist or Church of God or Church of Christ. If they were having a meeting, I was there. So I remember that. And I remember walking into a church with my Bible under my arm and sitting down. Now listen, I was just saved. I probably wasn't saved but 2 weeks. And at this time, I had long hair. I had very long hair. So I was a man that loved God and had long hair. And I remember walking in with the Bible under my arm and sitting in a pew, and I just couldn't wait for the service to start. And the pastor got up and opened the service. And there was a man that had been sitting in that church many, many, many years. And as soon as he got the opportunity, he stood up from his pew and he began to preach about how God hates long hair. How God is disgusted with long hair. How God loathes long hair. Brothers and sisters, what's my point? This man has been sitting in church many, many years. And yet he was absolutely blind to the new work God had started in a new heart that was hungry for the Lord. He was absolutely blind to a life that was beginning to be transformed by the Spirit of God. Brothers and sisters, when the Holy Spirit possesses your heart, truly possesses your heart, He begins to open your eyes to a world that you were one time blind to. The very kingdom of God begins to unfold before your eyes. Now the Bible says, "And He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven." And I just want to focus on that word steadfastly for a minute. It said, "He being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly in the heaven." That, brothers and sisters, when the Spirit of Christ truly fills our hearts, our eyes are fixed on Christ. Our eyes become transfixed upon the kingdom of God. Our eyes become transfixed upon the things of God. That the world and all of its worldly attachments begins to lose hold upon your heart. That when Jesus truly possesses your heart and His Spirit truly possesses your life, your eyes become transfixed upon the Lord. In other words, what I'm trying to say is you're not carnal. What I mean by carnal? What I mean by carnal is simply this: professing with your lips to love Jesus, but yet all of your interests and all of your conversations revolve around the things of the world. John said in his letter, they are of the world, so they speak of the world. You can always tell a Christian who is carnal. Amen, I'm going to say it. You can always tell a Christian who's carnal because in their heart there really is no interest to talk about the things of God. There's really no interest to talk about the truths of God, to talk about what God's kingdom is doing here upon this earth. There's really no interest there. And why? It's because really the world has a hold of our heart. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this morning that when the Spirit of Christ truly possesses your life, your eyes of your heart become transfixed upon Christ, becomes transfixed upon the kingdom of God, comes transfixed upon the things of God, that Jesus begins to consume your world. Now, right here, someone that would start being convicted of being carnal would say this. Well, Pastor Tim, you're talking about being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Pastor Tim, you can be, let me just throw my hand on my head. You can be so religious and so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. People say things like that. People think things like that. But brothers and sisters, here's the question I want to ask you from Stephen's story here. Stephen is in a place where he is so consumed with a vision of Christ. Heaven has been opened to him. He sees Christ. He sees the glory of God. He sees Christ standing in his position at the right hand of the Father. He is so transfixed on his vision of Christ that the world around him has vanished. I mean, Christ is consuming his vision. But here's the question I want to ask you. In this moment of his life, is this a man who's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good? Well, let's look at the impact he made upon the world at this time in his life. I want you to look with me at verse 59 and 60. It says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. So, in other words, Stephen is so consumed and steadfast and transfixed in his vision upon Christ that he's praying for his enemies. Stephen is so at one with Christ, transfixed upon Christ, that he's praying the mercy of God upon his persecutors. Does that sound like a man who's so heavenly minded he's no earthly good? Does it? Look with me at verse 58. It says, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Brothers and sisters, I believe this scene playing out before Saul is the very thing that pierced his conscience. You know, in Acts chapter 10, when he's going to persecute the Christians in Damascus and bring them to prison and ultimately persecute them unto death, even then you know his conscience was pierced. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that Jesus appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then he said this, is it easy for you to kick against the pricks? In other words, there was something that was piercing Saul's conscience. There was something that was piercing his heart. There were questions that were plaguing his mind. And I believe those questions were something like this. How could a man forgive his enemies like that? Where does this kind of forgiveness come from? Where does this kind of strength come from? I've been a Pharisee of Pharisees all my life, and as much as I can tell, I have lived out the law perfectly, but I have never, never seen this kind of strength. And I know deep, deep down in my heart, even though I don't want to admit it, I know this is a strength that is not from this world. It doesn't come from this world. I ask you again, was Stephen so heavenly minded with his vision fixed upon Christ that he was no earthly good? No, it's just the opposite. If your eyes of your heart are not transfixed upon Christ, steadfast upon Christ, consumed by Christ, then you are no earthly good. Only when Christ consumes your world are you any earthly good. Amen. Well, by now someone is probably thinking, okay, Pastor Tim, what you're saying is true, but aren't you taking Stephen's story of being martyred and seeing heaven opened a little far? God opened heaven and showed him the glory of God because Stephen was being stoned to death. This was not an everyday occurrence in the life of Stephen, and it is not an everyday occurrence in the life of the believer. I want to show you something I think is very important that we need to see in this story. So I just want to read some scriptures together. Look with me at chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And Stephen said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land that I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as he set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." Look with me at verse 11. "Now there came a dearth over the land of Egypt and Canaan in great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers." Just look with me at verse 30. "And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses, trembling and durst not behold, then said the Lord unto him, Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt." And look with me at verse 44. "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion they had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Have not my hands made all these things?" Brothers and sisters, look at me. Here's the question I want to ask. What is Stephen doing here? What is he doing here? Listen, he's not giving a history lesson. And he's not reviewing stories in the Old Testament with these religious people. That's not what he's doing. What he is doing is he is revealing Christ. What he is doing is he is showing them that from the very beginning of time and all that God has been doing, it's all about Jesus. That's what he's showing them. What he's showing them is this. Listen, on every page of your Pentateuch, on every page of your Torah, on every page of your prophets, on every page of your Proverbs and your Psalms, it's all about the coming and the manifestation of Christ. In other words, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. The Word of God, the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, the Word of God is open to this man. All of the meaning and the mysteries that were concealed in the Old Testament Scriptures are open to this man. On every page, Stephen has a living revelation of a living Christ. He has a living, not only does he have a living revelation, he has a living relationship with Christ on every page. Now my point is simply this. Before Stephen ever had an open heaven in his death, he had an open heaven in his heart to have a living revelation and a living relationship with Christ in the Word of God. That's what we have to see here. Listen, I want to say it again. Before he had an open heaven in his death, he had an open heaven in his heart. That's why when Stephen was being stoned and he looked up at Jesus, he knew who he was looking at. There was already an intimacy there. There was already an intimate familiarity there. When he said, "Lord Jesus," if you really hear his words in verse 59, if you really hear his words, he's not talking to someone he doesn't know. It's very intimate words. How did he know this Christ so intimately that he sees? Because he had a relationship with him in the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, what I want to say is this. There is not a more intimate place. There is not a more enlightening place. There is not a more living place than when you go into that secret place and open your Bible with a cry in your heart that says, "God, I want to know you. God, I want to meet with you." That's when the Lord begins to give you that open heaven. This is what we need to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, and bear with me because I've said it before, but I want to say it again, is to breathe life into the pages of this book and bring you into a living encounter with Christ. I truly believe with all my heart your relationship with Christ can only be as strong as your relationship with Him in the Word of God. Stephen already had a living communion with Jesus in the Word. He already had an open heaven. He already had an open heaven that was in his heart. The Word of God was alive to this man. Jesus was living. He was breathing life into it. And there was that intimate communion. He already had that intimacy with God before the heavens even opened, because he had an open heaven over his heart. Now, I guess my point is simply this. Every day heaven is open to us. Every day the Lord desires to open our eyes to see what Stephen saw. The kingdom of heaven. The glory of God. Jesus and all that He is as He sits at His Father's right hand. And it begins with spending time with the Lord in His Word. It begins opening our Bible with a prayer in our heart. "God, breathe life into your Word and cause me to see you. And cause me to know you in a deeper way." And the Lord will be so faithful to do that. Now I want to end with this question. Stephen was a martyr. In Acts chapter 7, he gave his life up for the witness, Christ. I want to focus on that word witness. He gave his life for the witness of Christ. Well, what does that have to do with us today, here and now? I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You have to remember Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was possessed by the Spirit of Christ. And that's why he had this open heaven. The Bible, remember, Acts 7 says, "And he, being filled with the Spirit, saw heaven open." The Lord made a connection there. Filled with the Spirit and open heaven. Now look with me at verse 8. The Lord speaking to his church. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." Let's just stop there. He says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." Brothers and sisters, this is the point I want to make. That word witnesses, he said, "You shall be filled with power and shall be witnesses." That word witnesses in the Greek word is martus, and it's where we get the word martyr from. Martyr. So what is a martyr? Here's a very simple definition. A martyr is one who lays down their life for what they believe. You don't have to die a physical death to be a martyr. It's just laying down your life for what you believe. Now here's my point. Not long ago, I had the privilege to sit with a very old saint of God. Someone that's been walking this way for almost a century. Very old saint of God. And I had the privilege of just listening to his heart. And I asked him this question. The question was this. Is there a requirement to being filled with the Holy Spirit? I really want to know, is there a condition to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I've heard so many people say, and I've heard so many people give altar calls, it's a gift. Just receive it as a gift. And in my heart, I just want to know, can anybody just come up and receive the Holy Spirit? Is there a requirement for receiving the Holy Spirit? And this old saint of God said to me, yes, there is. And here's a requirement. In your heart, you have to be willing to die to everything that you are, that Christ can live and manifest His life through you. God's not looking for perfect people. He's not looking for people that do everything right. But there is a requirement, and that requirement is this. Before God will fill that vessel in their heart, they have to be willing to die to everything that they are, that Christ can live His life in them. And I want to tell you something. There was such a bearing witness in my spirit. And I know that's the truth. I know if Christ and His Spirit is going to possess us, His Spirit's going to fill us, His Spirit's going to empower us and lead us and guide us, there has to be something in the heart that says, all for Your glory. I'm not here to live my life. I'm not here to live for my dreams and my ambitions and my agendas. God, I'm here for one reason, that Your will would be done in me. God says, that's the life I will feel. That's the life I will feel. Brothers and sisters, I long for this open heaven. We have the open heaven. There's just something in my heart that just wants more of Jesus. Wants to go deeper in Jesus. More of His life in me. But if I'm going to possess that, there's got to be something in my heart that says, Lord, take me to the cross and let me die. But as I decrease, as I die daily, I know You're going to increase.